Welcome back to the Big Sports Breakfast. It is 8 minutes past eight on the Eastern Seaboard. We're going to speak to Brisbane Lions midfielder and players on the half forward line as well, Zach Bailey, shortly. They're flying the Lions. They've won seven straight, got the Adelaide Crows in Adelaide this weekend. And Gene Miles is coming up as well. And, of course, featured in one of the initial commercials that was fronted by the great Tina Turner. And if you're just tuning in, the news this morning that she has died at the age of 83 at her home in Switzerland. Many tributes on the show this morning. But we are going to talk some AFL now. And as I mentioned, Zach Bailey of the Brisbane Lions. He recently passed 100 games, made his debut back in 2018 and grew up in the Northern Territory before he moved to South Australia for school and footy. And the Lions themselves coming off a 43-point win in the Q Clash against the Gold Coast Suns on the weekend. Their seventh straight victory. And they're in Adelaide against the Crows Sunday. Twilight fixture. And Zach is joining us now. Morning, Zach.
Morning.
Well, the Lions, you've either been in a prelim or you've finished top four the last 4 years. But, Zach, what feels different this year as you ride this current win streak?
Yeah, I think we've had some pretty handy inclusions in the off-season, and they're starting to have a real impact on our team this year. And, we had a great start to the season, and I think we're all gelling pretty well at the moment. So there's still a fair few games to go, but I think we're going all right at the moment.
Yeah, Zach, you've won seven in a row. What's impressed you the most about the team's performances?
I think we're just gelling really well at the moment. We got our pressure game going, and our whole game is based off that. So I think it starts in the forward line with Charlie Cameron, Lee McCarthy. They're great pressure players, and it's allowing our backs and mids to set up really well.
And Joe Danaher, 28 goals through 10 rounds this season. Why do you think he's having his best run at the club now since he moved from Essendon, of course?
Yeah, he's going great at the moment. He's a real X-factor down there, and he's taking marks and kicking goals. And I think the great thing about our forward line is when he's not doing it, there's a bunch of other players down there that are able to hit the scoreboard, like Charlie, who's also kicked, I think it's 24 goals or something this year. So, it's been good.
Zach, when you're playing well like this, are there areas that you're still working on as a team? I feel like a lot of the time we talk to individual players or teams, and when they're struggling, you're always looking for where can we improve, how can we get better. What about on the other side? When you have got that consistency and you are playing well, what are the areas you guys are looking at improving?
We are playing well and we are getting wins, but there are also quarters where we're letting other teams get runs on, and I think it's just about trying to put in a four-quarter effort. And in our team meetings, we go back and review the quarters that we don't go so well, and and try to fix them. But obviously not going to be perfect, but try to get it as close to.
And what about your own game, mate, personally? How do you feel? And again, same question, what are you looking to improve at the moment?
Yeah, so with the inclusions at the start of the year, I've sort of had to play a bit more forward, and I don't mind that because I really enjoy playing down there and feel like I can play multiple roles, and it sort of allows me to use my strengths, which is my ability to sort of get to the front of the pack where our tools like Joe are dropping it, and I can use my skills to try and score. So I'm happy playing down there.
You mentioned your forward line, Danaher and Charlie Cameron and guys like that. But your midfield, they certainly set a high standard. And you must admire the work that Lachie Neal does every week.
Oh, yeah. He's an absolute superstar of the game, and love what he's able to do every week. He's just so consistent. And I think he's even gotten better with the likes of Dunkley and Ashcoff in there, allow him to sort of get on the move a little bit more and not get as much attention drawn towards him. So, he's great.
You mentioned Will Ashcroft. I mean, 19 years of age. Just how good is he? What sets him apart as, a bloke that's so young?
Yeah, he's a great player. And I think he's just so clean below his knees, which gives him the best opportunity. And he's got that breakaway speed so he can get it. And get out of congestion. So I reckon that's what separates him.
You got the Crows this week at Adelaide Oval. What's their strengths? What do you have to do to try and shut them down?
Yeah, they want to get it into their ball users like Dawson and Smith. So I think if we can deny them that and just keep bringing what we've brought over the last sort of couple of weeks, I think it'll sort of give us the best opportunity to win.
And as a kid moving from the NT to South Australia, and you know, right in the fabric there of the Crows and Port, etc. I mean, who did you support, Zach, at that time?
I didn't really have a team, but my family was big Collingwood supporters, so that's sort of who I went for. But I didn't follow any of the Adelaide teams.
Yeah, and just on, you know, Damien Hardwick leaving Richmond this week, I guess a bit of a sigh of relief maybe from other clubs around the league. I mean, your debut was against the Tigers, wasn't it? And that was a tough night as a team. I saw the result last night. What, they beat you by 93 points. I mean, at the peak of their powers under Damien Hardwick, they were some side, weren't they?
Yeah, no, he's a great coach, and that was a great game to play in, wasn't it? 94-point loss on the debut, but great coach, and he's done a lot for them, and obviously won the 4 flags. So, great career.
Well, Zach, really appreciate your time. Well done on certainly what's going on so far this season at the Lions. Good luck against Adelaide this week.
Yeah, thanks for that.
Zach Bailey there from the Brizzy Lions. He's gone forward a bit more because the big reason is due to their depth in their midfielder. And you said at the start of the season, Loz, have something on this Will Ashcroft kid. For the Brownlow, you said, but the rising star, I think he's just about...
How's he going in Brownlow?
I don't know. They go behind closed doors with their votings, unlike the NRL where you see where
the votes
are
going.
Oh, I think he's a wonderful player.
He's the $1.80 favourite.
Dacos would be he'd be the favourite, wouldn't he?
Oh, well, rising star award, Ashcroft's $1.80. Yeah. The only other player in the market's Harry Sheezel from North Melbourne. Who's $2.50.
Good player too.
But, you know, first-year players don't win Brownlows. Nick Dacos is the $3 favourite.
Has the first-year player ever won a Brownlow?
I don't think so, pup. I stand to be corrected, but I'm sure it hasn't happened.
So is Dacos the favourite for the brand?
Nick Dacos, $3. Bontempelli, $5. Then Petrarca, $10. Jordan Dawson at Adelaide, $11. Zach Butters, who's playing well, $12. And Lachie Neal, $13.
Yeah, he was outstanding the other night, Lachie Neal. 35 disposals, I think, against the Gold Coast.
He's a gun.
Their midfield is very, very good.
Good morning, Gene. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
Thanks for your time this morning. And on a sad morning, really, honouring the great Tina Turner, who died overnight, and you were obviously part of the initial campaign. Tell us your memories of, well, I'm guessing you met Tina.
Yeah, no, we had a wonderful time. She was so interactive with us too. Like it was Blocker, myself, and Junior Pierce, and E.T. We were carving up the dance floor with her, actually, which was a sight to be seen, I could tell you. But she had more moves than the three of us put together. But She was lovely to work with.
I can see the envy all over Loz's face.
Loz is devastated. Absolutely.
Didn't get a star. Too young, Loz.
No, he got his opportunity, 4 years later than you, Loz. You were in that.
I did, but I didn't get to meet her, Gino.
Oh, okay.
No. I think it was only Mal.
Oh, of course, Mal.
Shocking. Big Mal, yeah. Mal got everything. Mal.
It's all about Mal.
What have you made of these two teams, mate?
Actually, I was just having a look coming onto the show, and it's hard to find a player that's not in good form. In both the squads, they go pretty deep right through to their 19th man too. So that all goes well for a great class, which they all are, and we both know how important game one is. Loz, you've been a former coach, you always like to get that first game under your belt, don't you? First win.
Gene, I was going to ask you, how hard is it trying to get the balance between being loyal to the players that have been there, certainly if you're winning the year before, but then also, like you just mentioned, trying to pick blokes that are in good form?
Yeah, that's a bit of a trick. But, like, you know, I know we're getting bagged for not being as loyal as we have been, but in all honesty, we just haven't had the depth. And you know, we've had to be loyal because of that lack of depth in certain positions. And in relation to Gags has been, you know, obviously a wonderful player for 8 series and done the job for us at every occasion. And it was just the form of Hammer that, probably pushed it in his way a tad. And we had to find a spot for him. And Hammer made his debut in the centres for us when Greeny had the team a couple of years ago. Mm. And done a wonderful job. And, you know, he's been in fine form this year. I feel for Gags, and it's not the end of his career. Simply because of the depth in that position. You know, Valentine has been made into a left centre, and he was a winger fullback. So where we used to have an absolute heaps of players in that position, we dried up in that in the later years.
What about Reece Walsh then, Gino? We were surprised that Kalen wasn't given the opportunity, but Reece Walsh, I suppose, because he's playing so well, it gives you that option if you're not confident in Kalen at this stage where he's at with, you know, his head knocks and the amount of games he's played. You can just make that tough decision and put Reece Walsh in there.
Yeah, and, you know, that was a really tough one too, because obviously, Kalen was the player of the match in Game 3 last year, and he's always played extremely well for us too. And Reece, you know, he's just hit the ground running this year, and he's been the best player in the Bronx side with, along with the
Carrigan's and Haas.
Yeah, exactly. So, and Billy just wanted. Billy was pretty bullish about, he wants to see Kalen play a bit more footy. And we do have a duty of care to the players too. And I'm not questioning the doctors at Newcastle at all. But, Kalen has only played about 4 games in the last 12 months. And they haven't always ended the way they should. I just think now he's going back to his rightful position at fullback on the weekend. He'll have every opportunity to be selected in game 2 then.
Gino, I don't know whether it was by design or just how it worked out, but I reckon both teams' benches are very, very strong. Is that something that you, obviously you think about it, but for me it looks like there's a lot of effort that's gone into these benches, because I think in game 1 last year, that's where Queensland won the game. Their bench came on and just went bang, and New South Wales were dominant in that opening 20 minutes, and then the bench came on and flipped the script. I'm just wondering whether that was part of the thinking.
Yeah, well, I think you're referring to Carrigan that came on, in Sydney, after the 25-minute mark or whatever it is, and he just hasn't looked back from that occasion. And, he surprised me and what he did, and obviously surprised a lot of people. And just his aggressiveness and, he's got a big motor and he just kept going and he's continued that form right through now. And, he obviously came off the bench in the first interchange. You're spot on, Loz. They've both got very talented benches, so you're not going to lose a great deal. And the coaches don't want to lose any momentum whatsoever. Those interchanges should go pretty smoothly and, barring any injuries they'll be all timed to come on at some particular stage.
We're speaking with Queensland Origin legend Gene Miles. And Gene, when you look at this New South Wales side, and I guess particularly the selection of Tevita Pengai would be the one that certainly has stood out as maybe a bit of a surprise. Yep. To what extent is that an indication of, learning lessons from Game 3 last year?
Oh, yeah. I've been watching Tevita for some time up here at the Broncos, and he's always had very untapped qualities, but the red line fever just got him on occasions, he can't do that at Origin level, and you give away a dumb penalty and just relieve the pressure valve, and it invariably ends up in 6 points to the opposition. So he can play as tough as he likes, which he does do very well, but I can't see him going crazy out there. Those days are gone. We used to be able to do that back in the day, but it's just such a heavy penalty these days to get punished just for a dumb mistake or just being over aggressive.
We always know, Gino, that in Origin players are just meant to be on that arena, and I think Queensland are lucky enough to have Munster. He just seems like he's one of those players. Yes, he plays well for Melbourne most weeks, but he tends to just go to another level when he plays with Queensland. There has been some talk about an injury, but I don't think that'll be the case. I think he'll be right to play, but you're expecting another big series from him, no doubt.
Oh, absolutely, mate. And you know, he has got a couple of niggles, which they all have. You know, here we are 13 rounds into the league, so they've all got bumps and bruises. And, you know, he just plugs along. And, you know, even though he didn't play Game 3 last year, he played a huge part. And, you know, he was in quarantine down in Century Cove and just hung out on his balcony and just bagged the living daylights out of the team as they went onto the training paddock. Typical Munster. But you've got to have it. You got to have one of them, got to have one of his types in the team, and you know, he fills that role really well. But when he gets onto the footy field, you know, he just loves that level of footy, and that's what you want in one of your you know, key players in the position that he is in. And you know, he's in great form, and as are most of those guys in both teams which we referred to. But you know, he always lives for the Origin.
Gene, what about this combination of Harry Grant and Ben Hunt? I think still, you know, New South Wales tried it last year with the two hookers, and it still didn't work as well for Queensland. I just think that has been a defining factor for Queensland. And, you know, which way do they go? Do they start with Ben Hunt? Do they start with Harry Grant? But so blessed to have, you know, two wonderful hookers at this level.
Yeah, you know, and I talk about momentum. Well, you don't lose anything when you do make that interchange. But, you know, Honey always plays another role too. Like if we have an inside back that, you know, we have issues with that injury-wise or HIAs or whatever, that, you know, he can slot in anywhere in the back line as well as in the middle too. You know, you can slot him in there because he's got a good hit on him and his work rate's tremendous. And then Harry comes into the nine and, you know, he's done some wonderful things coming off the bench and, you know, scoring tries. He's a bit of his forte at this level too. He's got a pretty good hit rate there. So, it works for us, so we won't be changing that anytime soon, Puff.
Gene, just on the game in general and expansion, we've seen what the Dolphins are doing, obviously, this season. I think they're surprised just about all of us, but also talk about starting the season in the US next year. And I guess I ask you in the context of your memories of playing in the exhibition match back in 1987 in California, and obviously it was a one-off, but how do you think, obviously times have changed, but how do you think it'll be received over there in the States if we start the club season there going forward for the next few years?
Oh, so you're admitting it was an exhibition match? Yeah, right. We've been calling it that for the last 30 years.
No, I certainly don't. I don't, you know. That goes on the record. That goes on the record.
Is it
that? Do
the history makers say it's an official State of Origin match?
I think they do, don't they, Juno?
I think they do, yeah. Right. Depends who you're talking to.
Yeah, of course.
Well, down here we do.
Yeah, of course.
Because I was looking last night, you played 19 Origins and were 13.
20, get it right.
13 and 6. Well, okay, right, sorry. Yeah. But I was wondering whether to take one of those losses off you because of this match.
Yeah, well, we don't count it up here. So
yeah,
21. So I played 21
Origins. 21 Origins, that's sorry.
Okay, yeah. No, but yeah, no, I think it's a great initiative. You know, I'm a bit concerned about the field, like the imitation grass, isn't it? It's not lawn, is it? It's not turf. That'd be a few gravel rash. There'd be some good ball players having to go over there for that particular match. They don't hit the deck, but I think it's great. You know, they love a punt over there too, which is I think that's the
idea. You know,
yeah, absolutely. You know, punting on our footy, and I'll put my hand up to go across whoever's playing. Yeah,
Loz is looking at the coach again.
Yeah. Yeah. Loz.
I'm taking the under-16s over.
you can't go in the casinos over there at 16.
No, you can't.
That's where Alfie, that particular trip, he had to show his license, and he only just turned 21. So
they wouldn't have believed
it. You know, yeah, because he hadn't had a punt before then. He's too young. Believe that.
Exactly. Hey, Gino, just on the Dolphins and the Broncos and the Cowboys, the Queensland teams in general, how have you think they've fared this year? And also just with the Dolphins, did you expect them to have early success?
No way. I didn't expect them to hit the ground running, you know, as well as they have. And they've really surprised me. But, you know, when you think that who's coaching them, you should give yourself an uppercut, shouldn't you? Because, you know, he's always going to like. And those players, you can see that they want to play for him too. You know, they mightn't be the the best team in the world, but gee, they all want to have a dig for him, which is, you know, half the battle, as you'd well and truly know. And hence the results. You know, I think they've done something that no one in their wildest dreams would think that they'd be in this position come halfway through the season. But, you know, speaking of the other teams, like Bronx have been great. You know, they need to win on Saturday against the Kiwis, against the Warriors. You know, they've had two defeats. They don't want to have a third. But, you know, when they're all healthy and on the field, they're a pretty formidable outfit. And I won't be writing the Cowboys off anytime soon either. I think that they've had the little wake-up call from last Saturday evening, Sunday afternoon, whatever it was, but it was a shocker. Mm. And I'm sure Castle Hill would have got a nice little workout on some Sunday, Monday, whenever they finish their review. But, I expect them to be well and truly entrenched in the final series.
Well, Gene, we really appreciate your time. Hope you don't enjoy too much next Wednesday night, at least from a New South Wales perspective. Mm. And thanks so much for your time, mate. Really appreciate it.
Pleasure, guys.
Pup's just sorted his Tina Turner playlist.
Straight on Spotify. When I get home, when I get in the car, I'm sorry, DS, I won't be listening to you. I'll be Tina Turnering on
the
way
home.
Tell
you what, though, every time I've heard it this morning, I've just tapped along. Oh. You just want to break out into a song.
You want to put the shoulder pads on, go again. Game day.
Yeah.
Would have got you pumped that. For sure.
Oh, when it first came out.
Right.
When it first came out, it was. And I think what the ads did at the time, obviously they wanted to attract more women to the game, but it turned girls into, and I think this is where players started to become
more well known
yeah. Because in particular girls, instead of following the team, they followed individuals.
They picked the player from
that sort of campaign. And that's why you saw the rise of certain individuals, you know.
You know,
because they were good looking and people started to support them because they were good looking rather than supporting the team.
If you played the exact campaign or commercial now, it wouldn't be out of place.
No.
Like, it's lasted the length of time. Like, you change the players, but play the exact same campaign, and today's generation could align with it.
They would love it.
Yep.
Yeah, the thing is, what resonates this morning...
The player's popularity would go through the roof, let me tell you.
In our studio here, we've got heaps of screens on. We've obviously got the breakfast TV shows on. It has been on all morning.
It's so everywhere.
It has been a full morning tribute to Tina Turner.
Which front
Why?
Page now
Because
online.
Of that campaign. That's how much it has resonated with Australians, that campaign.
Yeah. Main story
you see it
online
this morning.
As well.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, she's a legend.
I was just thinking then, she was on, I think this is Today Show, the one on the right here. Is that hair real? Was that
Crazy
hair real?
Hair, isn't it?
Is that hair extensions? Is that a wig? What is that, Loz?
I think it's
That's
hair
unbelievable hair.
Yeah. I'd
and
say
she the other thing is, I reckon Tina Turner owned the denim jacket better than anyone.
Yep.
She owned it.
Mm. She did.
The
and
denim
she could
jacket.
Rock, mate. She could rock. Yeah. She had all the moves and, you know, the songs were fantastic. But everyone that I spoke to that met her said that she was engaging. Yeah. Like, she just didn't turn up and, right, here we go, and then just put it on when the cameras were there. Mm. You know, if they got an opportunity to have a yarn to her, she'd actually engage in that conversation. Mm. So that says a lot about her as well.
1353 53 is the number, 0419 767 272. Robert Mount Pritchard's pretty keen to give us a tip today. Race 1, number 4 at Gosford. Announce big tip. It's 5.50, I think. Race 1, number 4, Gosford. Leicester, a Joe Pride horse, which won a maiden a couple of starts ago, then finished second. Last start, race 1, number 4. It is a $5 chance with Tab. Jay Ford in the saddle, barrier 8. So it's the widest gate there at Gosford today, which jumps at midday, class 1. Now, also the boxing last night, we yet to mention with our Tina Turner tribute. So the referee stopped the fight in the first round, Joseph Parker. with Tyson Fury in his corner, by the way, beat Brisbane-based scaffolder Django Opelu. And Nikita Zhu also won via a first-round TKO over Benjamin Bomber.
Well,
look at the ref here. What's the... Is that a hip drop?
Well, he got in between him and just took him out because he knew that he was copping a belting from Zhu.
Well, and by the way, his opponent there, Bomber, didn't initially make weight for the fight. Had to go back and do the old... well, the Cambosis, and there is that iconic picture of Tina Turner with Wayne Pearce, Alan Langer, and E.T. How good's that? What a legend. The ref had to tackle Bomber away from the barrage he was copping there to stop the fight there against Nikita Zhu last night. And Tom Bell Chambers KO'd Cam Mooney in the AFL, or the Battle of the Former AFL Players, and that was in the third round. Now, yesterday, Latrell Mitchell...
Did I hear that correctly?
Yeah, well, Latrell... For some context here, No Limit, the boxing promoters, they also manage Latrell. So he sort of put on his Instagram promoting last night's fight night. And he typed it in himself, Latrell, that, you know, he offered to fight the winner of the bout between Cam Mooney and Tom Bell Chambers last night. See what they're, Bell Chambers who beat
Big
Mooney.
Big unit.
And he was asked afterwards by Ben Damon there at Main Event. He goes, not sure yet, when asked about fighting Latrell. So it might be one to watch. Yeah, a bit of extra cash maybe. Well, it would generate because you get the AFL and the league.
That's exactly right, Mitter.
So
They're not silly.
No. A bit of cash there maybe.
I don't know whether
Latrell any good
stuck
in the ring, you reckon?
I don't know, mate. I wouldn't have a clue. I know that, they tell me, Tevita Pengai Jr. obviously goes all right.
Yeah.
Junior Parlo, very good.
Yep.
Tevita Pengai?
Yeah. Too.
Sorry, I thought you said something.
No, you had a Laurie Daly moment there, mate.
Harvey Norman?
Too much Tina.
Too much Tina. I don't know whether Latrell could fight. I couldn't. Actually... You wouldn't have had many blues, would you?
Great
had a couple publicly.
Right. No. I should
had a few that you can read about.
No. As in,
couple.
Did you ever train?
Yep.
So who did you take on?
No, I couldn't even tell you his name. No, in just training. Mainly our stuff we used boxing for fitness. Mm. For cricket, and then I trained at a gym where they had a ring, and you do a little bit of that stuff.
But we used to box, and we had this boxing trainer, and he'd bring, boxers in, not professional, I shouldn't even say semi-pros, but they were from his gym that he'd come in, and they'd train with the Raiders. And you'd get in with them, and they'd sort of let you sort of hit them.
Mm.
And when you started hitting them, you think, I'm going all right here.
Mm.
And then when you got carried away, they just went bang. Just to show you, hey, listen, you know what you're doing here.
Yeah,
you don't really want to get into a stink in the ring with me. And then you'd pull back a bit because you knew if you went hard, they were just going to knock you out.
Smack you on.
Yeah, but it was good fun. But I'll tell you, your heart is racing at a million miles an hour. It's like going out there to play a game.
Yeah.
Your heart is beating.
You speak to
that
anyone
fast.
That's been in there. They say anyone that steps in the ring.
But that was even just
courageous
for training.
Is tough.
That's not even like going in there for a fight. That's just at training.
Well, it's always easier hitting pads or a bag because they don't hit back. But when someone else is throwing punches back at you, the rules of engagement change quickly.
But I remember the first time I met a bloke by the name of Dave Woods. He ended up becoming one of my great mates, God rest his soul. Anyhow, he turned up with the Raiders. Anyhow, we were all doing weights. And Woodsy was a big unit. Mm. Oh, big tats all over him. Used to wear those gold gym singlets. Anyhow, he's there and we had a punching bag and there was a ring sort of set up. So everyone's doing their weights. Next thing you know, Woodsy's on the bag. But instead of sort of fighting and just like jabbing and hooking and things like that, he was doing these big sort of haymakers. So he was about 6 foot, but he was going, Anyhow, making a big noise and a big scene. Everyone's looking at him going, mate, who's this boy, you know? They knew he'd signed to play with the Raiders.
And they're thinking, mate, he's a bit of a dickhead, this bloke, you know, carrying on. And they go to him and they said, mate, can I ask you a question? Yeah. You know, he's got the big chest muscle. And they said, mate, what do you hit the bag like that for? And he goes, I only fight people bigger than me.
Oh, my God.
Everyone went, oh, right, no worries.
Yeah.
And then you got to know him, and he was just a funny, gentle giant. He wouldn't be able to smash anyone.
What did Mal think?
Just made
first?
A massive impression straight up.
Because I could only imagine what Mal was thinking. Mal would have been like, look at this bloke.
Oh, mate. I could tell you some stories about the great man. The prince. He went for a job interview at a gym one day, turned up, and he's got the singlet on. And he's there, and they ask him a few questions. Yeah, and he's real pumped up, you know. Got the singlet on, he's real bulky and muscly. And they said to him, mate, well, you've interviewed very well, but what qualifications have you got for this gym? And he stood up and he pointed to his body and went, qualifications.
Oh, my God.
Just pointed at himself. Oh, there's the qualification.
Did he get the job?
I'm not sure, actually.
He's CEO.
But, mate, I could tell 1,000 stories of the great David Woods. Mate, he played for the Magpies. He came to the Raiders. He went
Seagulls?
To, went to...
Gold Coast?
Gold Coast. He went to Parramatta. In fact, I remember Stevie Walters and myself, because he came to see Sheensy... got rid of him because we're going to a game in the old Toohey's Challenge days, and it must have been early 90s, and we're on the plane with Penrith. So Gus was coaching Penrith, so the Penrith players, the Raiders players were on board, and it was just when Top Gun was out and Tom Cruise. Anyhow, we're flying to a game. We're flying to the game, all right?
Yeah.
Next thing you know, over the PA comes, baby, baby, I get down on my knees for you. And we all turn around. Woodsy is singing to the hostess
and got
on
a good,
this plane.
And got a good voice.
Eden got a good voice. Anyway, everyone's sort of looking. So we play the game, and after the game, he's got to go. He's got to go. This bloke's going. So they got rid of him. So he was upset, and he goes, come on, boys, I've got to find another club. So he said, well, we know Don Ferner, so we'll ring Don. He goes, yeah, put me on loudspeaker, see what he says about me. So we ring, and we ring Don, and we go, Don, we got this bloke, Dave Woods. And he goes, yep. And we said, mate, he's a really good player, really good person. He'd be a good fit for your club. So we're trying to sell him to get him to go to the coast. And Woodsy's there, proud as punch, shaking his head, going, yeah, he knows me. And then Donnie finishes up with, yep, I've been looking for a centre for the last 6 weeks. I'll sign him. And Woodsy's going, mate, I'm not a centre. He'd mixed him up with another bloke who was playing Parramatta at the time.
Dave
by the name
Woods.
Of Dave Woods.
Oh, yeah, he was, yep.
Dave Woods. And
he was too.
Yeah. Mm. And Woodsy was shattered. And we said, no, he played for the Raiders front row, Dave Woods. And he goes, Dave Woods, Raiders front row. Can't remember him. So he's on loudspeaker, and he was just
devastated.
He was devastated.
Yeah.
But we ended up getting him a start. He got a start.
Yeah, he went to the coast after. Yeah. Well, he played 121 games between 88 and 95, 2 years at West, 12 games in 1990 for the Raiders, then had 12 games in Newcastle in 91, came back to the Raiders for 2 years. Only played 13 games, and then
he
went and had two solid years.
I'll tell
Gold
you
Coast.
How good he was. I'll tell you how good he was. So if you played at the Gold Coast or wherever you're going to, or you'd always take Woodsy as the 18th man. He always had to be part of
second
the squad.
Team manager.
Mate, he was just good for the group, good for morale. He's one of those blokes.
Yeah. What a morning, remembering the great Tina Turner. Even now, I see that the Today Show got John Quayle on. Lozzie, you've done a bit of radio elsewhere this morning. What can't you do?
Bit of a trader this morning, you Daly. You crossed over to the other side.
Man in demand, mate.
You went to FM.
Cheat on us this morning?
Mate.
No, I didn't cheat.
Oh, I call that cheating.
Cheating is when you don't say anything.
Well, you didn't say anything.
And you get caught.
And you've been caught. It sounds like that's exactly what you've done.
I was open and honest. And
crossed over to Triple M.
I got the OK. I got the hall
today.
Pass.
What station was it? Today FM.
Got a hall pass.
I got the hall pass.
traitor.
Do you give him the hall pass?
No chance. Oh, you can't jump sides. You can't go over to FM for a minute interview.
Well, we don't
get I do, because yeah. as many as I like. You're single.
Yeah, that's
go for it.
Good point. Yeah. Oh, you're single too, aren't you?
Fair question.
Yeah.
Okay.
I am.
Okay.
Steve Hewlett from Radio Tab Morning. How are you, mate? No, we'll get him shortly, but the big show is coming on. DS is
speaking
in
the of the big show, look at him go. Look at the strut on him, DS.
He's still got the gout too, by the...
He looks a little dusty, actually. Do you have a Wednesday night?
Yeah, I don't know whether he wants to put these headphones on or is he going to go from the studio or what are we going to do with him?
Don't know, he's looking
good. We're waiting for Jono to give us the directions, yep.
Get in, DS.
Dave, come in.
Well, Steve Hewlett coming up with Bracing HQ, so...
You're here now. We're doing this.
I like the
morning,
vest.
Mate. How are you?
Yeah, good, very good. How are you, gentlemen?
Good to see you.
You look like you're dressed for the snow.
Mate, I've been down in Canberra. I was down there last couple of days.
Yep.
Doing a little project, a little what side project.
Last couple of days?
What's been happening?
I'm making a gin. I've always wanted to be involved in...
Distillery.
Yeah, making a gin or some sort of product.
When's it out?
It'll be around August.
Right.
August.
And
so
what input did you have into the gin? Were you tasting?
So pretty much it's Underground Distillery, which is a Canberra-based gin, and actually met the guys at the Canberra Cup. Anyway, they're going to be picking local botanicals and doing all sorts of things.
Side hustle.
not really.
Yeah, that's a yes.
Nah, not really.
That's a yes.
Worst
not
case,
really
it's a lot of free product.
What was that? That reaction?
It's not, it's a black and white. You're not doing this for free. You're not doing it to make money. You want to make money from it.
I'd love to sell it. I'd love to make money.
Of course.
But it's something that it's always... Because before I started here
even
at Sky,
better when you love it.
Yeah.
That's the cake and eat it.
Before, about 10 years ago, when I won that competition, I used to work for a brewery.
Yeah.
So I've always been interested in...
Yeah. Well, we've said on this program before, you like a beer, there's no doubt about it, but you are a spirit
drinker. Definitely spirits man.
Yeah.
And champagne.
Yeah. Yes.
The boy loves his champagne as well. Don't worry
gin.
About that.
Now Middow, gin. Come on, mate. Come on. Get us
now
back
gin.
In.
I'm done. I'm Middow's putting the queue in the rack.
Middow's done. That's what I love about Middow. Yeah. It gets about 8:50 and he just goes, you know what?
At least he's not packing his laptop and diary and not packing up.
Sad news this morning. Passing of Tina Turner.
Tina Turner.
What were your memories of Tina Turner?
Well, I always remember, obviously, the NRL stuff. That was Winfield Cup, wasn't it?
Yep.
I remember that. And I must admit, I mean, we've all got a Tina Turner moment, at the local pub, when you're, maybe a youngster chasing...
Nutbush.
Was that was Tina, wasn't it?
Yeah,
because she obviously had her own career, but then she had that other career with Ike. Is Ike?
Yes.
Was it Ike?
He was the first husband.
So, but I think the big one's the Winfield Cup. Were you involved in that particular?
Thanks for asking, Dave. Yeah,
you were. So were you on the beach? Because I've seen that photo of her with ET.
Mate, we've been looking at it all morning.
So hang on, who was it?
I had my shirt off.
Been on his iPad all morning. It's his screensaver.
What was she like?
Never met her.
Stop it. You've never met her.
Hey, before this morning...
They told me I was going to meet her.
Before this morning, I thought Tina was like his auntie. He spoke about her like they lived next door. And now we find out he didn't even meet her.
So, well, just on it.
I starved myself for 72 hours. I was getting my shirt off.
Fair.
I wanted to look hot.
Yeah. Wanted to look hot. How good.
And
he didn't eat for 72
hours. Didn't need to drink anything. 72 hours.
Okay, so let's talk us through. So who gave you the word that you would be meeting Tina?
We had the script of what we're going to do.
Right, so you've got
the script. I've got the script. I'm walking across with no shirt on.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, well, I want to look my absolute best. So it was a quick shred. You get there early in the morning, like 5 o'clock or whatever it was.
Yep. So who's you? So there's you.
Mel, Bradley, Clyde.
I'll be able to find it here for you. It's only a very small little piece.
There he is.
Right.
Yeah.
This is the 94 version.
So then, you get there and Tina's coming. So every couple of hours, everyone's going, oh, when's Tina getting here? Oh, she's on her way.
On her way.
I don't know, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the afternoon or whatever time it was. Mate, she's not coming. And I still didn't have anything to eat or drink that morning. So I was dehydrated because I wanted to look good.
Mate.
Who has met Tina?
No, I never met Tina.
No? Paul Snowden, we're going to meet very shortly with Racing HQ, Chris Root, Sam Kavanagh, Bjorn Baker, John O'Shea, Michael Maxworthy, Anthony Cummings. That's the lineup. If you had a listen yesterday, you would have backed four winners because I had Sarah Ryan on the program. We had Jack Bruce, which we spoke to as well later in the day. He had some winners up there in Brisbane. We also spoke yesterday with Ed Cummings, Queenmaker 1. So make sure you're listening to Racing HQ. We're going to look at Saturday's racing. We're going to look at today's racing. And you've got something you need to read out, Loz.
Yes. Well, not only listen to your program
I won't be listening to your program today. I'm going Tina Turner, Spotify. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm thanks, mate.
Only today.
Jeez, you.
I listen every other day, just having a day off.
How good.
I'm paying my respect.
I appreciate that, Michael.
I'm paying my respect to Tina.
Are you the full quid?
100%. I can't listen today. I'm sorry.
He's about to do a live read, and you're talking about some Spotify.
Tina's
are you the
important.
Full quid?
Tina.
You captain our country in all those high-pressure moments.
Fair don't worry. Go. We've heard this
Lawrence.
Before, Loz. Give it to us one more time.
Rightio. Get into Totally Workwear Rydalmere for all your winter workwear gear. We stock the biggest and best brands like King G, Hard Yakka, FXD, and Steel Blue. So get in store and check out all the pants, jumpers, and jackets. Just what you need to keep you warm this winter. Does your workwear branding need a freshen up? Darren and the team will get you sorted. Open until 7 p.m. every weekday. Totally Workwear, Rydalmere, 279 Victoria Road, opposite Bunnings and Macca's. We've got you covered.
You know what needs to happen?
A couple of cheesies on the way through.
You know what needs to happen? We need to get you three at Totally Workwear, Rydalmere.
Anytime.
For an afternoon.
Why afternoon?
Just
morning.
An afternoon. I don't want it to be a live broadcast. I just want you guys in the shop, people coming in. Having a yarn, talking about the products.
Are you the full? Are you the full quid?
I just want the full quid. Middows pointer.
Hey,
no,
let's do radio.
To the team at Totally Workwear, Rydalmere, we'll make that happen. We'll get on to Paco and the sales team downstairs. Middo, Pup, and Loz. It won't be a live broadcast. They'll just be there, spending their afternoon.
We're going to go. Thank you, Dave.
I've got to
say a very good morning to Dave's show coming up on Sky Sports Radio. Steve Hewlett, good morning to you, mate. How are you?
I'm really well. How are you going?
Yeah, really well, thanks. And counting down to the big day at Eagle Farm on Saturday for the derby in the Kingsford Smithies.
It is. And we're going to talk about a very interesting derby winner. Peter Moody is going to join us. The horse is simply called...
Oh, my brain's finished.
Fame. Oh, it's been, right, yeah, winning with arrogance its past couple. Peter Moody's won two derbies already with a filly, Reva Sam and Brambles, of course. So Peter Moody's down on the list. Also, one of the biggest owners in the country, Aussie Kia. He's got promises kept in the derby. And also, Matty Sears is going to tell us a fascinating story regarding Yellow Brick. That's favourite on the weekend, has to win the Fred Best to get into the Stradbroke.
Great stuff. Really appreciate it, Steve. We'll catch that after 9 o'clock. Steve Hewlett on the Radio Tab Network. It is a minute past 9. Simply the best.